Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to read from verse 11. Once again, the verses are not easy. I'm not thinking in terms of them being complex or difficult to understand, but in terms of what they contain. But we don't want to be a church that's skipping over bits that people don't like or find difficult to accept. We want to be a church that is committed to all that is taught in the Bible. Chapter 20 then, and verse 11 and following, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life," elsewhere of course known as the Lamb's book of life, "was thrown into the lake of fire." The Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It doesn't seem, though, that there were those in his day that were interested in listening to what he had to say. But there came a day, didn't there, when God told him that he was going to judge the earth by means of a flood, and that he was to build an ark in which he and his family would find safety. I imagine that Noah earnestly pleaded with others to help him build the ark and to enter into the ark before God's judgment came. Yet one imagines that people simply laughed at him. "Noah, why are you building an ark? It's never rained before." I assume, as I read the biblical text, that people must have thought that he was a madman. And yet we know that God's judgment came. The rain began to fall and the waters began to rise. And only Noah and his family and the animals that went into the ark with him were kept safe. Every other living creature on the face of the planet was sadly destroyed. They met with the judgment, the just judgment of God on account of their wickedness. I think there are many people today who would very quickly dismiss any notion of there being a final judgment. If we talk to them about it, I think they would probably think that we were crazy. But we believe the testimony of Scripture, don't we? We're committed to the Word of God, and one day it will come. Listen to what we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. It's tempting to read a few more verses from this chapter than these ones, but I think we'll restrict ourselves to verses 3 to 7. Peter writes, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So we read about the judgment of God here in Revelation chapter 20, also in 2 Peter chapter 3, but there are many other places in the New Testament where we read about it as well. Let me give you one more example. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed." My understanding of the New Testament, or indeed the Scripture as a whole, is that at the end of this age, there will be a general resurrection of the dead. And all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All. Including, I would argue, Christians. It's sometimes said that Christians will not stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but I think the New Testament leads us to believe that they will. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Just glance at verse 12 for a moment of Revelation chapter 20. There we read that John saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Here we see that there were, on this great day of judgment, books that were opened. Books containing the record of mankind's deeds or works. These books will be somewhat different from the book that, was it Eamon Andrews opened? On the program that used to appear on one of the television programs some years ago, This Is Your Life. Some of you will remember watching it. There was a book, wasn't it, that told the story of some celebrity's life. But of course, everything contained in the book would have pleased the celebrity. There wasn't anything in it that would have upset them. Eamon Andrews spoke well of the various celebrities. A wonderful picture was painted of their lives. Nothing unkind was said. Nothing embarrassing was said. But these books that are opened, or will be opened, will contain everything. All the words, all the deeds, all the thoughts of every individual that has ever lived. All will be revealed. James Denny writes, "All that we have hidden shall be revealed. The things we have done in the body shall come back to us, whether good or bad. Every pious thought and every thought of sin, every secret prayer and every secret curse, every known deed of charity and every hidden deed of selfishness, we shall see them all again. And though we have not remembered them for years and have perhaps forgotten them altogether, we shall have to acknowledge that they are our own." He finishes by saying, "Is that not a solemn thing to stand at the end of life?" And I think we would be quick to concur that it is indeed a very solemn thing. This day, of course, will be a terrifying day for many, it will be a day of shame and embarrassment for all. But we, as believers, need not despair. You see, not only do we read about these books that are opened in verse 12, we also read about another book that is opened. Here it's referred to as the Book of Life. Elsewhere in the Scripture, it is referred to as the Lamb's Book of Life. And of course, if our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we can rest assured that we will not be condemned. Along with those whose names were not found written in the Book of Life, verse 15. Why will we not be condemned? Well, because the Lamb, who will also be the judge, will have already borne our judgment on the cross. One of my favourite programmes or films, as you know, is Double Jeopardy. And I love to tell the story because I think it's such a wonderful way of helping us to understand the gospel. Ashley Judd, who stars in the film, finds herself on a boat with her husband, and he fakes his death. And when the authorities arrive, it's only her that is on the boat, and of course, she is accused of murdering her husband. And the matter goes to court. Meanwhile, he takes their only child, their little boy, somewhere else in America, along with her sister, and builds another life for himself. But she is found guilty in court and ends up in prison. In fact, she serves in prison for some time. But while she's in prison, she learns that he has effectively done the dirty on her. And when she gets out of prison, though she's not completely free, she goes in search of him. The main intent, of course, being to find her little boy. And to cut a long story short, she ends up shooting her husband. But of course, she can't go to prison for murdering her husband, can she? Because she has already been to prison for murdering her husband. She can't be punished for the same crime twice. If she was, that would be double jeopardy. Jesus has already borne the punishment or the judgment for our sin on the cross, and we can't be punished for it twice. So on this great and awful day, whilst I believe that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, rather than Jesus looking sternly at us and pointing the finger, he will look in our direction and he will lovingly smile at us, because he knows that he has already paid the price for our sin and clothed us in his righteousness. I think you'll agree with me that this little passage that we have here at the end of Revelation 20 impresses upon us the importance of being found in Christ and thus having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me just read a few verses from John's Gospel to you. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And then John chapter 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. We can see as clear as day, can't we, that it will be a terrible day for those outside of Christ. They will be judged, as we read in verse 12, according to what they have done. And God will be fully aware of what they have done. Look at verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Then verse 15. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, how glad and thankful we are that God has worked in our lives and brought us to the Lord Jesus. How thankful, how grateful we must surely be. And yet, once again, we come together on a Sunday evening to pray for those who are still outside of Christ. What can we do but pray and witness? We're going to sing a song now that picks up on the Day of Judgment. I'm just trying to remind myself of what number it is. Number 946, and Will the Judge Descend? So let's stand and sing this one through together.